we can be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, we know that our own words lack knowledge whenever we try to speak of you or to you. Yet we are drawn into your presence and desire to understand all your mysteries. So now, by the gift of your Holy Spirit, speak your words, and we will listen carefully. Responding in awe and gratitude, through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 38 through 44. You can follow along on the slides. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. You know, I'm going to go slow today. This is, I'm going to try and talk about Jesus' ministry, healing ministry. So it's a more like of a teaching along the way. And we see where the Holy Spirit takes us. Yes? So Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O my rock, our rock and redeemer, we pray. Amen. You know, the Hippocrates oath presumably was written by Hippocrates in 3050 BCE. And that oath called upon gods and goddesses, Greek goddesses and gods, to help physicians uphold the ethical standards for practicing medicine. Its accompanying symbol, which you see in the middle there, is the pole with winding snake wrapped around it, was also a Greek and pagan symbol. As with many borrowed customs, however, physicians adapted as they adopted the oath as an initiation for all doctors. Today, we know the Hippocrates oath as an oath of ethics for medical practice. But if we look closely and if we remember our stories of Moses, this symbol harkens back to him, the one who God called up and made a bronze serpent swirl around the pole to use as a healing device against snake bites. We read that in Numbers. The staff itself did not heal, but looking at it did. That's what the scripture told us. The bronze serpent's image served as both a reminder and confession of sin and a means of salvation. It is to be understood that those who look upon their sins in the face and those who face and outface their woundedness and brokenness will be healed of their wounds and brokenness. In Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, as written in John's witness, we hear him say, "Just as Moses has lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up." We might even go on and say that when we look upon him and repent of our sins, their sins will be healed and restored. Salvation will be theirs. who will lift up their eyes to the one who was lifted up for healing. To look Jesus in the face is to come out of hiding and stand before God, naked, authentic, and vulnerable. As I mentioned last week, the word Hinene is most holy of the Jewish words they ever able to speak. The here I am spoken is to the great I am is a sign that we have come out of hiding to face God with our sins and our brokenness. It is a sign that we are ready to serve the God of grace. Jesus' healing ministry is yet another sign of God coming kingdom. He began his ministry proclaiming the good news that God is coming. We must be coming in this good news. We must repent. And he begins this ministry talking and proclaiming about healing and restoring the people physically and spiritually. Church, the proof is in the pudding. For when Jesus heals, it points to give God glory and the grandeur of God. You know, listening to the scriptures and talking about demons and being rebuked, and I always amazed that the demons were the first ones who proclaimed he knew Jesus was. They knew he was the Messiah. But I wonder if any of you believe in demons today. I don't imagine any of you spent, you know, thinking that serpents and grotesque creatures will be coming at your ankles. Nor do you expect to see the likes of exorcists in your backyard. But wait a minute. We all have demons that inhabits our lives and inhabits our relationships with Jesus Christ. Some of you will say there are two lines of life, Cain and Abel. One for those who are disabled and one for those who are able-bodied people without handicaps. But as followers of Jesus Christ, the line that we want to be in is Cain. Because that is why Paul could say, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We are all disabled by demons of one kind or the other. Each one of us have our own demonology. My demons don't come in a bottle or a glass, but it comes in an attack on the mind. What demons, what twisted demons drives you? There are demons of selfishness and demons of doubt, of guilt and of shame and of insecurity. Perhaps you are assailed by the demons of greed, of anxiety, of mistrust, of gluttony, demons of rejection, demons of disease and abuse. There are many demons. And most of us battle more than one demon. See, in Jesus' days, demons were inhibitors. Whether it is a disease or lack of faith or arrogance or mental illness or physical illness. If illnesses are inhibitors, then Jesus is the great uninhibitor. Amen? Freeing people from the bonds of illness and pain and debt and doubt and paralysis of the word of God and deed. But truth be told, all of us need Jesus' healing touch. This is not a life here, my friend. No one here this morning that doesn't in need of some healing. When Lawrence Devon Post was with the Kalahari Bushmen in Southern Africa, he asked them what motivated them the most from within. An elder answered for all of them and said, there's a dream in us. God has a dream for each one of us, my friends, and a dream of a new heaven and a new earth. There's a dream in you. But to join this dreamer's dream for you, there's need for healing. We all need to be healed of our demons. Jesus spent his ministry doing three things: preaching, teaching, and healing. Do you know which one he spent most of his time doing? Healing. All right, I'm among church people. I should say I'm among Jesus people. Yes, every one of us, you know, everybody study healing and teaching, but how many of us study healing? They didn't teach me that. They took $40,000 from me in seminary, but nobody taught me how to heal. But the healing story that Glenn's read about to us this morning is from a source, healing source itself. What we know about the early church history is that we learn mostly from Luke and Acts, to which St. Jerome says, Acts as medicine for ailing soul. The historian Eubius, also 4th century, wrote that Luke's and Acts are two medical books to heal not our body, but our soul. Did you get that? These stories themselves heal. Living the right story in itself is a healing force in one's life. Maybe the stories themselves reveal why healing of the body and the healing of the soul are connected. Maybe. So let's just see. In today's story from Luke, Jesus stands over Peter's mother-in-law, stricken with fever. Jesus takes her hand and gently lifts her up. Jesus never heals two people the same way. I'll tell you about that. Last year, the year before, I think, I know it was last year, Donna, she was sick, and I called her for something, and then she would tell me how sick she was, and she had this fever, over 103 fever, was just sick to the dogs. And while hearing what she telling me how she felt, I just was led to pray for her. And she always had been a speakerphone, so John and all of us were just praying. And I like how she said it. She sent me a text, so boom, it was gone. She was healed. So many times it happens like that. You know, healing happens that way, in the now. And there is another time a couple of weeks ago, I'll show you another way. A couple of weeks ago, the Lord has helped us. I had a little prayer healing thing in my office when Jana and Heather Small was sitting there. We were talking before, and then John came in, and because I told her I would pray over a foot that's been just bothering her for too many weeks. And so we went in that space, and I called Donna to join me, and we're all on the floor and rubbing out with oil, and we just in the spirit just prayed. But that healing didn't happen in the now, as Donna did. Because later on, I didn't want to ask how it was going, because I feel if I ask, I feel like I don't have the faith. So I was struggling with that for a couple of weeks until I finally asked. But there were good days and bad days. It's coming better, but I think she's still at amen. But with Heather said in the healing prayer, I knew there's something I can do now. Hers was a healing of revelation, and she's working on that. I really say, tell you these instances that Jesus never healed the same way. And we go in faithfully expecting it to happen, but that healing will look different ways. Amen? There are countless ways to meet God meets us and heal each one of us. So back to the story. When Jesus said, take this woman, lift her up, rebuke the fever in her. Can you imagine how she feels as this flood of what floods in her soul? When she look in the face and see who is touching her? Can you just imagine that, you know, what happened? And at the end of the day, she not only healed from her disease, but she was healed from her broken humanity. In that moment, she was given life and salvation from the Savior, the great physician. Each time Jesus heals someone of demons, he says he rebukes them. I often do that. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever this thing is. Just as he rebukes the fever and it leaves her. The word rebuke in Greek means to change, to might out what is due. Jesus rebukes her fever. He established authority over the fever and dispels it. Jesus not only has power in synagogues, but he has powers in Peter's house and in your house. She gets up. And what did she do? What was the first thing she did? The scripture tells us she got up to serve. Her body is healed, so she gets up. Her soul is healed, so she rises up and serves. And how does she serve? We don't know what she did, whether she made supper or not, but we all know Jesus loves to eat. So maybe they just came from the synagogue, come home hungry, and now mama is home with a flu. She can't make any food. So who knows? Jesus must heal her now. Get up and let's say, let's eat. I don't know. But it's not that easy. There was something greater that was happening. Because when you heal by Jesus, the first thing you want to do is to get up, praise God, and serve up a storm. When you're healed, you're healed to serve. We are healed to be amended for ministry and mission. Beloveds, you and I are cured to keep the charge. We sing these songs, a charge to keep, I have. A God to glorify, a never-dying soul to serve, and to fit it to the sky, and to serve the pleasant age. My calling is fulfilled. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. Charles Wesley's famous song, we sing it. When we are healed, we might want to serve God. We praise God. First thing we do is we want to give God glory. That's why I say give the grandeur to God. It points us to that. When in the Bible we see when they were healed, the first thing they want to do is go tell somebody. Even the demons, when they were gone, when the people were released from the demons, they shouted, and Jesus basically was telling them, not yet, not yet. He basically tells some of them to shut up. It wasn't time yet for him to go and say who is the Messiah. He wanted to do it in his own time. He's on this journey to the cross. He's on this journey where we'll experience the ultimate cure. Because that thing up there we call the cross, it's the hospital for humanity. And when you get through the cross, you cannot come out being the same. Hallelujah. Jesus is one was on the way, giving us the ultimate cure. So he tell those people, don't shut up, not yet. I got more to say. I got more teachers. You could understand what I'm doing. You could understand what this kingdom I'm coming to inaugurate is all about. Amen. So when the pastor asks, come, I want to tell them how this crowd started to follow him. Sometimes he disappears. He goes to the other side to be with his father. Sometimes he goes to the mountain. Sometimes he just goes in the lake just to be with his father. Not yet. I'm going to make that 3-year journey so you can have the ultimate cure. The ultimate cure. When Jesus heals your mind, body, and soul, all those inhibitors that keeps you from the joy and worshiping God disappears. No more demons of insecurity, no more demons of pain, selfishness, or doubt. Jesus removes all the inhibitors to seeing God's face to face that inhabits each and every one of us. Because when you look God in the face, your whole face will glow and reflect the light and beauty and truth and goodness. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When you get free, everything that seems like you're glowing. Growing like a pregnant woman. Because you know when a pregnant woman that gives birth, we're in a path of new birth. When we are free from our things, our demons, we are on a path of rebirth. It's like a new birth we experience. So you're glowing. Somebody came in and said, there's light in this place. Yes, there was always light in this place. Thank you, Steve, for bringing it brighter. Because sometimes we just need it brighter for us to see our stuff. We need to see the things that is keeping us down, keeping us from living our God-given grace and righteousness. Jesus Christ come to, you know, when he's talking about come to repent, the kingdom of God is near. That's how he started his ministry. He started it just to heal. That's a healing in and of itself. But before we get to live into that, we got things to do. We got some healing to happen. And that's what he wants to do with us. Heal us. So we can step in that kingdom, not only here, but there. You know, the kingdom is here and yet to come. Amen? I don't know, man. In this, this Greek word that they use in Luke used here, inome, it means to make whole, free from sin, bring about salvation, salve. The word for health suggests that in our salvation, we are made whole and brought into ideal human health in our relationship with God. This is where I was wondering in seminary, why they're teaching me Greek and Hebrew. But sometimes you have to find the different meanings of the word. This one suggests it means, yes, about the talent, it means to make whole from sin. That's the ultimate healing we're talking about. And when you think about salvation, what it means, salve, it brings us back in the right relationship with God. This is what all of it's about. We always think about the physical healing, but it's a spiritual healing also. We are on this journey. Jesus' restoration proclamation is one that promises salvation, a return to the garden relationship with God, in which our primary role is to praise and serve and proclaim the good news and rejoice. Amen? I don't know. I don't know what heals you. I don't know what's keeping you back from living in the fullness of God's grace. This morning, Glenn asked me if I'm reading Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, The Cost of Discipleship. And I said, yes, actually, I'm reading it. And he says, oh my gosh, I feel like, what is it? I have so much to do. You've been beaten up. But I said to my brother, that's where we're supposed to feel, been beaten up. Feel like there's so much. When the truth comes at you, that I am not ready. I am not pure. I haven't been healed of stuff. You should feel beaten up. We should stay in a state of feeling beaten up because we are living short of God's glory. But by his grace, he's saying, it's all right. I've come to heal you. It's okay to be not okay. Hallelujah. He says, that woman, Jesus touched her hand and he healed her. And with those healed hands, she begins to serve, not just serve dinner, but serve God. He has lifted her up to a higher place, and in return, she begins to serve God. To serve God. Friends, if you ever heard it, the true cure is the cure of the cross, the coming salvation of all God's people. God never makes a condition he cannot cure. Jesus heals the weather. Sounds strange, but it's true. But there's a big difference between healing and curing. I'll tell you a story. Oh, I learned that. You know, we talk about the Holy Spirit is a teacher. As disciple, it means to be learning, to be, so we must be in a position to be taught. One of the church that I, when I left St. James, Maria is from St. James and here from us. I went to Temple Terrace Church for a while. I should say God called me there for a while. But the worship leader there of the church, she was not just lead us in worship. She's the type of person, before she play a note at rehearsal, that she leads her class, the entire choir and praise team in the Bible studies. She believes in to go in deeper in your faith all the time. She's a teacher of the faith. She's the person who would lead Bible studies in the community and outside the community. So when I met her, I knew this woman was anointed. So when she called me one day and said, the Holy Spirit tells me to come with her to this house of a friend who is in need of us, I didn't hesitate. I grabbed my oil and I went. When I went to the place, introductions were made and everything, and it's this big house, and families were there. Eventually, the families kind of go back to what they were doing, and the woman who was ailing was sitting in a recliner in the middle of the room, and I went and sat at the footstool in front of her, and then she started to tell me about this dream she's been having, getting over and over. She says, in the dream, there's this ladder that just keep going without any end. But every time she goes up the ladder, there's something that she tries to go up. She'll go apart, and then something blocks her. And this just keep happening, and she can't get up. And then in that space, the anointing came upon me, and I'm now in this space listening, and I'm seeing like a vision, this room, this old room that's all white. And I say, is there a white room in this place? They said, yes, the bedroom. I said, that's where we need to be. Before I could finish, I didn't even realize the family was listening. The husband came, and they moved her slowly into this room. And when I entered this big master bedroom, it was as if I was in heaven. It was the whitest room I've ever seen. They lay her down. I went on my knees, still not knowing what this space is, so I don't start praying. I don't know what God was about to do. And I'm praying and putting my hands all over, just up and down her body. I'm thinking that must be Peter when he was trying to heal that girl who's laid on top of her. I don't know, but I'm listening because it wasn't revealed yet. And then I get into the spirit prayer. And when I was finished, she said to me, I know what to do now. My faith has been restored. I am ready to climb the ladder now. It wasn't a physical healing. That was a spiritual healing. She was losing her faith. She's dying, she knows. And she lost her faith. Was she cured? No. Was she healed? Absolutely. She experienced the only kind of healing that counts in the end, because it is the only kind of healing that lasts to the end, into eternity. She remembered Jesus. And in that remembrance, she found healing. She found healing that only Jesus could bring. Sometimes God cures, God always heals. Amen? Sometimes death is the final healing act, but death is never the blessing. The blessing is not in death, which is part of the powers. This is a part of the powers and principality Jesus took care of already. It was overthrown. The blessing is in the healing that comes after all the curatives of earth has been tried and failed. The doctors couldn't cure her cancer, but Jesus cured her faith. The healing she needed was to walk her final days into eternity. I don't know what kind of healing you need. I don't know what kind of demons are possessing your soul. But I know that Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to touch you. So, and he's calling, and I'm going to open this space right now. Those of you online, just keep your hands up and just reach out and call into God right now and say, touch me, take this from me, heal me. I have some oil up here, and I want to pray with you, whatever you want, and you feel the Holy Spirit is calling you to do right now. But I want to give some space right now for God's healing power to touch on you. I don't know. Some of you might be shy to come up. This is not a thing you used to. But I remember this bleeding woman. She was pushing through a crowd. All she knew was she didn't care whose toes she stepped on. She didn't care whose shoulders she bounced through. But all I know, she just knew that the cure was in her reach. She would need to just touch him. Jesus wants to touch you this morning. He wants to touch you this morning. If he wants, there's no power. It's in this, like the rod. There was no healing in the rod, but those who looked at it got healed like Moses. There's no power in the oil, but maybe if you get touched by it, something happens. I don't know if God's calling you this morning. I don't know what your needs are, but in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, I rebuke all that is not of God from here this day. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, let it be done. Let it be done. I'm calling him. He's coming. It's a walking church. We're going to move. Sometimes we're going to come to Jesus. He's calling you softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be healed. You and him know what that is. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, his power is upon you. Be healed. You and he know what that is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God wants to pray with you this morning. So in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be healed. God, his salvation comes to us in many ways. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Grace. Thank you, Father. If I was a singer, I'd be singing some songs now. But maybe God's singing it in your hearts this morning. Maybe he's playing a song for you this morning. In the name of the Father, the Holy Spirit, be healed. All that is not of God may be gone now in Jesus' name. I rebuke it now in Jesus' name. I rebuke it now in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. That tenderly and softly, Jesus is calling you, people, right now. He's calling you to be coming clean, and because salvation is yours. You've been cured once and for all by his Spirit and his blood that flows in and through you. Lord has healed his people. He came calling for us to repent of our sins, live in your righteousness that God has given to you.
Jesus. Amen.
I want to tell you how much Jesus loves you. The oil bottle fell. I took a picture of it, and it formed a heart in the floor. So, but let us stand. My brothers and sisters, in this season of Pentecost, a Pentecost church is truly possessed. We're possessed by the Holy Spirit. We're healed and possessed, not just to sing and dance, but to serve and save, to help and heal. So this morning, I want to leave you with these words. To get up, serve up, for you are healed. Go in peace until we meet again. And happy Father's Day from the Father, the Holy Spirit, and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. See you next week. Thank you.